Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Thursday, a glorious Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now. Do you bet football? Do you play fantasy football? Do you like to get smarter with football? Greg Cosell, NFL Meat Sandwich, 1 hour from now, as good a 15 minutes as we have on this show every week. J-Mac is joining me. A-Rod stopping by as well. There's all sorts of baseball moves going on. I like big money, big stars moving teams.
I had a big night last night, Colin. Saw Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock in Anaheim. Tremendous show. I'm dragging a little bit today. There was a prominent member of the LA Clippers there. He could be a new source of mine, so I'm not going to mention his name on air.
Oh, sourcing. Like
big
to see
night
that.
Last night. A lot of Herd fans down in Anaheim.
Of course.
Yeah.
Love Anaheim. Yes. Okay. So one of the things I really do like about the NFL, there's a lot of things. You can gamble on it. It's good on television. There's one game a week. There's more urgency. The other thing is, if you're awful, you can be pretty good the next year. Players, coaches, it's unbelievable. Half the teams that make the playoffs don't make it the next year. Like the Geno Smith story. You think he's going to be second in the NFL in passer rating next year again? I do not. I don't think Geno Smith's going to back up this year with next year. That feels like clicky, right? Like, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes stories just appear out of nowhere. Russell Wilson will get a new coach. I'll tell you who in 10 minutes, and he'll be better next year. But take a look at the Rams tonight. They host the Raiders Thursday Night Football. Less than a year ago, Sean McVay was the coaching toast of the league, leading a parade in Los Angeles and a Super Bowl champ. Today, the Rams are a bottom five team in the league. His offense is unwatchable. Matt Stafford's got countless injuries. They're tied for the longest losing streak or second longest losing streak in the NFL. And this morning, ask yourself, if Aaron Donald retires, and he may, are they now a rebuild job? The 49ers in their own division have far better players and a much better group of veteran players. The Seahawks in their division have a far greater group of young star players. He's lost 8 straight regular season games to his coaching rival, Kyle Shanahan. It drives him absolutely nuts. That's his rival. And the Rams not only don't have top picks, Aaron Donald's hinted at retirement. Cooper Kupp's hurt again. He's 30. Will be when the season starts. Matt Stafford, there's thumb, there's elbow, there's a spinal issue.
And Bobby Wagner's now moving closer to mid-30s than early 30s. And Bobby's been great this year. But I honestly believe, I told the staff this morning, if Amazon came up, they offered him the TV job this year, he said, no, I'm going to stay with the Rams. If Sean McVay was offered a 3 to 4 year deal by Amazon to do Thursday Night Football, I think he would take it. I do not think he wants to be part of the rebuild. And this is what's great about the NFL. I can applaud the Rams for going all in and critique them for where they're at now, old and beaten up with not enough draft capital. The bill always comes due in the NFL, always comes due. They haven't had a first-round pick in 6 years. McVay's never had a first-round pick. And he could leave this sport, come back in 5 years. What would he be, 41? He'd still be one of the youngest coaches in the NFL. So this is what is great about the National Football League. Toast of the town. Grand Marshal of the parade. 10 months, 9 months later, unwatchable, Baker Mayfield has a chance to start tonight for the Rams at quarterback. He's been in town 24 hours. It's a fairly complex offense with marginal running backs, a bad O-line, and Cooper Kupp is hurt. I'm actually rooting for Baker Mayfield tonight just to stay upright. I'm rooting for his health and his safety. But it is unbelievable. The Rams went all in. The bill is due. Watch them tonight if you can. I like the Raiders to roll tonight. So yesterday, this weekend, the NFL flexed the Dolphins and Chargers game. So Tua against Herbert. And they're going to be linked forever because they were taken, you know, at the top of that draft. So a very good columnist in Miami, Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, surveyed Jimmy Johnson, a former GM of the Dolphins, Randy Mueller, and three NFL executives, and said, if you were drafting today, who would you take, Herbert or Tua? And this is a Miami columnist. All five said Herbert. Yes, Herbert is 6'6", 238, huge arm and mobile. Tua is 6 feet tall, 217, not hyper-athletic, and has been hurt a lot. Tua has recorded 6 games in his career over 300 yards. Herbert had 8 as a rookie behind the second worst graded O-line in the sport. Tua is having a better season. Yes, he got a massive upgrade at head coach and wide receiver and left tackle. Herbert has regressed. Yes, we don't like his coach. His left tackle's gone. His center's been hurt. And Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are rarely available together. It happens. Emmanuel Acho was on yesterday. Now, he's taken the Tua side over Herbert. He says, we make too many excuses for Justin Herbert.
How much longer are we going to continue to blame other people besides Justin Herbert? In college, that was Cristobal's fault. Clearly, Cristobal didn't know how to use him. It's Cristobal's fault that Oregon didn't make it to a playoff game with Herbert there. It had to be Cristobal's fault. Then you get to the NFL. Ah, man, we first year had to change his head coach. Then you have Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley, at least at the time, his first year last year, everybody thought he was one of the wisest head coaches in the game. He was young, coached the number one defense for the Los Angeles Rams. He was gutsy, if you will, going for it on fourth down. But now it's Staley's fault. It's everybody's fault except Justin Herbert.
Now, I believe there is somebody to blame here. The San Diego Chargers, the strangest team in the National Football League. Not the worst, the strangest. Let me give you some examples. They allowed Drew Brees to leave. They've had 172 selections all time to the Pro Bowl, 12th most ever. And you can't name their biggest win. Never won a Super Bowl. Justin Herbert got his first start because the team doctor punctured the lung of Tyrod Taylor. They are historically cheap when it comes to head coaches. Brian Daboll was a slam dunk. Brian Daboll had groomed Josh Allen. Brian Daboll knew the general manager, Tom Telesco. Brian Daboll was this hot coaching prospect, and they took a defensive coordinator with a young offensive coach who had 4 years in the NFL, who, by the way, year one decided, I'm going to go for it all the time on fourth down, even when it's like at the 28-yard line and I'm facing the Raiders in a really big game. Herbert's career, 99% of the problems have been it's the Chargers. I like the Chargers. I know the Spanos family. I like them. I root for them. I'm happy when they win. Good people. But this is an organization. They're not the Lions or Cleveland. They're not completely dysfunctional or lacking talent. I can make an argument in the NFL, no franchise regularly has more talent and disappoints us more. They've had 172 selections all time to the Pro Bowl. That's upper third of the NFL. 70 different players, 16th most since the merger. What's the biggest win in franchise history? I'm not sure if all the Charger fans remember. They got to a Super Bowl with Stan Humphries and got rolled. So I think this is just circumstance. That's what I think it is. I know nobody loves that answer. People want something like tangible. But the Chargers let Drew Brees walk. I've had a million good players, have always been cheap on coaches, could have had Brian Daboll, and chose a kid 4 years in the league as a defensive coach. It's just what they are. It's just what they are. Wildly talented, always fascinating, and break your heart. Herbert over Tua, I believe if you asked every general manager privately in the NFL today, they would take Herbert. Absolutely. I think privately, the Dolphins guy would admit long-term, I'd take Herbert. You just can't say that in South Florida.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Everybody gets into a dilemma in the NFL. You know, you get the wrong coach, the wrong coordinator, the wrong player. A lot of times, people act too swiftly. They get a little too aggressive. Sometimes wait for somebody to make a mistake. It happens all the time in business. Good people get fired. Good people are available. I'll give you an example. Denver right now is a mess. What do? You get a new coach. But can you really go get another unproven head coach? I would not roll the dice. Go hire Frank Reich. Denver's opportunity is due to Indianapolis's mistake. Andrew Luck had his most efficient year. Andrew Luck did with Frank Reich. Philip Rivers was 11-5 in 1 year with him and completed 68% of his throws with only 11 picks. And Philip Rivers loved to throw picks. Carson Wentz, last time we thought he could play, 27 TD, 7 picks. That was with Frank Reich. With a roster, by the way, that's always been light on weapons. Denver needs a proven coach. Reich played quarterback. Reich has called plays. He has been coordinator. He's dealt with an impulsive owner before. 5 years in Indianapolis, anytime he had a competent quarterback, they were top 10 in offense. Andrew Luck was fifth. Rivers and Wentz were ninth. Hell, Jacoby Brissett got to 16th. Indy's mistake is Denver's game. Go get him. He's a winning, proven head coach. Almost 75 games, 40 wins, 33 losses and a tie. Again, for an organization that always feels light on weapons. He can clearly build a staff. One of the knocks on Hackett is this staff is just not very good. Look at Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni. He's now crushing it in Philadelphia. Shocking success. Matt Eberflus isn't winning a lot in Chicago, but appears to be a really capable coach, and he's built a good staff with the Bears. So this is your opportunity. You can't go get a young guy again. You know, I'm sitting around thinking, like, what does Denver do? I keep hearing all these names. Shane Waldron, Seattle's fascinating, but what if that's Pete's team and it's more about the players and less about the coordinator? And Frank Reich is really good, really experienced. He's dealt with old Philip Rivers, banged up Andrew Luck, a reckless Carson Wentz, limited Jacoby Brissett. He has dealt with the gamut of NFL guys, the old guys, the reckless guys, the getting beat up, promising guys, the average guys in Brissett. This is your answer, Denver. Indy's mistake is your opportunity.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One of the great left tackles in the history of pro football is Trent Williams for the 49ers. It's funny to watch. If you go watch some of the virtual stuff on Trent Williams, he just destroys people. Like, it makes no sense that he's that big and his feet move that fast. It's like Aaron Donald on defense. It makes no sense. He's unbelievable. And he said about Brock Purdy, quote, "You would think he's been in this league 15 years, barking orders, moving us around." So Brock Purdy was the last guy taken in the draft. But we were sitting down this morning and I said, does everybody realize that every round of the draft has furnished us with really interesting quarterbacks? So the first round has given us most of our Hall of Fame quarterbacks. The second round gave us Brett Favre and Drew Brees. The third round gave us Joe Montana. The fourth gave us more than capable Dak and Kirk Cousins. Mark Brunell in Jacksonville, 9 years, high-level football, fifth round. Tom Brady, sixth. Laugh at Ryan Fitzpatrick in the seventh. He threw for 35,000 yards. It should be noted that Roger Staubach was drafted when they used to have a 10th round in the 10th round. Bart Starr in like the 17th. Kurt Warner and Tony Romo were undrafted. And Warren Moon should have been a number one, two, or three pick. He went to Canada, then came back to the States and dominated. Folks, there is talent everywhere. And what do we know about the Niners? Defense, coach, run game. It's not a quarterback-centric operation. Jimmy Garoppolo's gotten to a Super Bowl, has four playoff wins, and has never had a great playoff game. They don't need their quarterback to carry him. The second thing we know is quarterback play, as a rule, is simply getting better. This generation of kids, camp, 7-on-7, the coaching of quarterbacks is better. I don't think it's crazy to say that Brock Purdy could win multiple playoff games. I don't know if he can go to Philadelphia and beat Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts wasn't playing so well, I think he could. But, I mean, the seventh round gave us a guy that threw for 35,000 yards. Kurt Warner and Romo were undrafted. Shannon Sharp, who works at this network, was a seventh round pick and a top four or five tight end, maybe top three of all time. And all the Niners asked their quarterback to do, he's 6'1", 220, his size is fine, he's a half inch shorter than Garoppolo or Aaron Rodgers, size is fine. I don't think he is an elite arm talent, but he's accurate, and that's exactly
what this team asked their quarterback to do. Stay in the pocket, deliver strikes. Kyle Shanahan this week on what he likes about Brock Purdy.
Brock's got a good edge to him. You know, you can tell how like the rookies gravitate to him. I mean, he's got good command over them. Our scout team, you know, from Fred and all those guys, they love him. He's aggressive over there. He's not shy in anything he does, but he's fit in with our team well, and he's understood his role, and now it's gotten a lot bigger.
Pretty interesting. Sorry. Cringy dad joke.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Pirelli tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Pirelli test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Greg Cosell, 43 years, NFL Films. So when the Raiders were losing, I said, settle down. I said, settle down here. They're developing a run game without a great O-line. They're getting the ball to Devontae Adams. They've got a lot of injuries, and this is a chaotic franchise the last 10, 15 years. This is not a six-game rebuild. They need time. So now they're on a three-game win streak. What are you seeing from Derek Carr? They don't have Hunter Renfrow. They don't have their tight end, so they're missing some pieces. But are you encouraged by what you see with Josh and Derek Carr?
Yeah, I am. And I thought Derek Carr, despite not having great numbers, played very well last week, Colin, for this reason. I thought Carr was very poised in the pocket with people around him. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes he struggles with. I think when he feels pressure, there are times he either gets rid of the ball too quick or he becomes a little frenetic. And I thought this week he played exceptionally well in the pocket, late in the down, waiting to make throws. The other factor, though, and this makes them difficult to play against, is they play with a fullback a lot.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels brought Jakob Johnson over from New England, and 35% of Jacobs' runs this year, 35%, that's a high number, have come with the fullback on the field out of what we call 21 personnel, yes. Two backs and one tight end. And you know what? Not many teams do that, and it's a little more difficult to prepare for on a weekly basis. And they have been very, very effective running the ball. And Josh Jacobs is a really good confined space runner. He navigates inside through traffic and through bodies really well.
So I was watching Burrow face Mahomes last week, and it hit me sitting on my couch that if I wanted to simplify Joe Burrow, because Josh Allen, we see the size and the arm. Lamar Jackson, we see the speed. Patrick Mahomes, we see the arm angles. You don't get a lot of that with Burrow. And I thought, what's his secret sauce? And I boiled it down to this. This will almost sound silly. That he just usually throws it to the right guy really accurately. And that sounds...
He throws it to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw with precise ball placement.
Yeah.
That's kind of what playing quarterback is. And it's funny that we don't talk about that when we start evaluating college quarterbacks. But I thought this game was really interesting for the Bengals because one of the things Burrow is really good at and they're really good at is he attacks one-on-ones outside the numbers with both Chase and Higgins. This game, they didn't really do that. This was a patient, methodical game for Burrow. He got sustaining completions. There were a lot of quick rhythm timing throws that essentially minimized and eliminated the Chiefs' pass rush. And I'm sure that was a factor going into the game that they did not want the Chiefs' pass rush to be a factor against the O-line. That's still a little bit of a work in progress. But the ball came out. It was to the right receiver. That's Burrow's game. You know, you remember when he came out, everybody loved all his traits. And the one thing they said was he didn't have a big arm and he doesn't have a gun. But he knows how to play quarterback, and he knows how to throw the ball.
Yeah. So, I want to talk about Mike White of the Jets and Kenny Pickett of the Steelers. So let's start with Kenny Pickett. I think we both kind of felt the same way. I lean on you, but he's big enough. He's got a nice arm. He lets it rip. He can move pretty well. I'm waiting to see something truly special, but he does look like a professional starting quarterback to me. What is the film saying?
And, you know, Colin, you may not see special in the way we think special. He may be one of those guys that just as he further develops, and by the way, he's incrementally getting better every week, which, of course, doesn't mean he won't have a bad game, but he's getting better every week. He may be one of those guys that just is an executor of an offense, that is a ball distributor with enough movement ability to be able to make second reaction movement plays when necessary. He may be one of those guys that never wows you, but just plays the position the way it's supposed to be played.
Yeah, and for the record, again, it's Burrow. Throws to the right guy accurately.
Yep.
Like, it's a thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Now I want to go to Mike White. You know, Jason's a huge Jets fan, and obviously you can see Saleh's fingerprints on this defense. They have a world-class corner. They really move well. It's a really good defense. They gave Buffalo fits. They play him again. I said this the other day. When I watched Mike White, I'm like, I don't know what he is, but he's big, and he made a throw to Corey Davis, and I was like, oh, whoa, that's a big time. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, he couldn't get him in the end zone. You always feel like Mahomes, Allen, you know, the great ones, can get you in the end zone. But just give me an honest evaluation of what Mike White is. Is he close to his ceiling? Is he just kind of a guy to fill in for a while?
You know, it's so funny you say that because I've watched him hard the last 2 weeks and talking to the guys here in my matchup room at NFL Films. And I just said, I'm trying to figure out, Colin, what this guy is. Because I have to tell you, the last couple of weeks, he has played well. And you watch a lot of football, college and NFL. And the one thing that really stands out with Mike White, and you notice it as well, I'm sure, he doesn't get stuck in the pocket. Do you notice how he's never in the pocket where it looks like he doesn't know what to do with the ball? The ball goes somewhere, and he plays with a really refined sense of timing. There's a rhythm to the way in which he plays. He certainly doesn't have a gun, but I wouldn't say he has a bad arm by any means.
No,
he made a couple. Yeah, he made a couple of throws this past week. There was an 18-yarder at the end of the first half to Garrett Wilson, a sideline out route. I think that sort of got him going. That was kind of a big-time throw.
Yeah.
So look, the sample size is not large enough to make any definitive statement about his future. But, you know, like I said, I was talking to the guys in my matchup room, and we're sitting here saying, you know, this guy's throwing the ball pretty well. You know, this is not – he doesn't have the look of a backup like with a rag arm that you come in for a week or two.
Yeah. Okay, so now I want to do two other quarterbacks. I want to do Geno and Brock Purdy. So let's start with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
So he was a four-year starter. He's not huge. He's 6'1", 220, but, you know, he's not. That's not an issue. He is accurate, and it's funny. We forget how many great quarterbacks. Romo and Warner weren't drafted. Staubach, 10th round. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 35,000 yards in the 7th round. Mark Brunell in the 5th round. Brady, 6th. Joe Montana. There's a lot. And quarterbacks now, as you know, they're coming from everywhere, and they're better earlier with more snaps. I watched Brock Purdy being inserted into that game, taking no number one snaps all week. And Greg, I was like, I think you could win a playoff game with this kid. Am I nuts? What's the tape say?
Well, all we have is that game. And by the way, that's a challenging defense to play against. Miami is one of those teams that has a lot of pressure front look, 6 and 7 people up the line of scrimmage. Then they move people just before the snap, the skies, late rotation. That's not an easy defense to play against. And he made some big-time third-down throws, one against pressure, where he clearly knew the pressure and he knew where to go with the ball. Now, he was the last pick in the draft for a reason, despite 46 starts, because he doesn't have a big arm. He can be very streaky. You know, when you say he's accurate, I watched him in college. I broke him down. And there were games where he was just red hot and everything looked smooth and easy. And there were other games where he was just inaccurate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a factor. But the one thing about him, and this could be good and bad, given that he's not a big gun guy, is when he's on, he is super confident, super aggressive. When he feels rhythm, he will turn the ball loose. And like I said, that can be a positive and a negative, because sometimes I think there are throws that he thinks he can make that he really can't. But we're going to find that out. But he's in a system, as you know, with Shanahan that really defines reads and throws very well for a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. He's what they call, what you call a rhythm thrower. When he's in rhythm, he's like a shooter in basketball. When he's hot, he wants the ball, and he's hitting shots you don't think he can hit. Now another one. So we've gone back and forth on this. This is fascinating. So the Seahawks have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a third, 2 fourths. And they don't have a ton of needs. They need an interior defensive lineman. Well, they could take that with their first pick from Georgia. They could use a center. They could use another receiver. But boy, after last year's draft, that O-line looks pretty good. The corners look pretty good. They've got a one receiver. They got a running back now. And I say to myself, do they just stick with Geno? And I think, oh, no, this is an outlier. You've watched him. What's the tape say on Geno?
The thing, Colin, is there's no way to know the future, but obviously teams have to make decisions based on what they think the future will hold. He has been really efficient this year, and that's the word I would use. I mean, his completion percentage is really high. Now, they've helped him a lot, by the way, because they do a lot of things that help quarterbacks. They use a ton of play-action boot, where they get him outside the pocket, and those are one-read throws, but they're very effective because they do a really good job with misdirection elements. But he's made some very good throws as well in the middle of the field, intermediate throws, some deeper throws. He's got some movement to him. He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And every metric you use this year to really analyze Geno beyond tape, the tape is really good, by the way, but even every metric, it's really high.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is how many quarterbacks would you say in this league are truly those difference makers where you say, hey, that guy is going to go in and you can win the game simply by what he does?
That's four
There's
of them.
There's not 15 or 20 of those guys.
That's right. And it's funny.
So the point is you still need to line up with a quarterback. And if you have enough team and enough good concepts and good tactics, you can compete. So since there's only four or five, you know, there's Allen, there's Mahomes, there's Burrow. I know I'm leaving somebody out, but I mean, the point is there's not 10 or 15 guys that, you know, you say, hey, those are the guys. So you can't just get rid of every quarterback and say, we need a quarterback.
No,
they don't fall out of the sky, Colin. You know that.
Yeah. No, it's Geno's. Oh, there's a reason he was drafted up. He big guy, can make the throws. He's got enough mobility. Like, I get it. It's just there's no precedent for looking like a bust, hanging around as a backup, and now starring. It's just weird, and that's why we love this sport.
You know, the big question, if I could just throw out, is, and I was reading something about this, and it made me think, third down is obviously the money down in the NFL. So the question is, do you have to be able to play the game from the quarterback position outside the system in order to be great on third down? Now, not every, obviously there are third downs where you can, you know, execute and ball distribute and everything works. But to be great in this league now, would people say that you have to be able to make second reaction, improvisational movement plays on third down to be one of those guys?
Yeah. All right. Tua.
Yep.
Just off. Just was it hurried? Was he hearing footsteps? Is it the Niners defense? It was not a good performance by him, Greg. What did the film say on Tua?
Yeah, it's a great question, because obviously they scored the touchdown on the first play, which was a bust by the Niners D. But I thought Tua, and again, I can't tell you what's in his head, he's normally very quick twitch in the way he drops, sets, and delivers. But I thought in this game, he just looked faster. He looked hurried. And there were snaps where I thought, based on their route concepts, I thought his eyes were not in the right place. So again, I can't tell you why, Colin, but I thought he just looked fast in this game. You know, you think back to the old John Wooden phrase, be quick, but don't hurry. He hurried. He just looked faster. Like everything was just a notch faster than it normally is.
Well, you know what? Some of that is he looks at tape and he sees Bosa and he sees that defensive line. Greg, you know, this stuff gets into players' heads. There's a reason there's a saying, I see ghosts. I think the Niners make everybody. You look at that tape. I said the other day, the Ravens had a defense, the Ray Lewis defense, that was so great. When I would watch it, I would think, are they playing with 12 guys on the field? And when defenses have linebackers that move well, they cover more ground. There are times San Francisco feels like they're playing with an extra linebacker, and I think he saw it on film, and it got into his head a little maybe.
And, you know, you nailed it, because I think Fred Warner, based on tape, is the best linebacker in the game. And boy, I just love watching that guy. That's my bromance, Colin, Fred Warner.
Okay. So, through the years, I've been accurate on some of my opinions. On Baker, I think I was more right than wrong. On Darnold, I was more wrong than right. I never, ever saw Jalen Hurts as this kind of player. I am blown away by his growth. Is it Sirianni? Is it A.J. Brown? I don't know. I mean, they have maybe, you know, it's got to be a lot of him. I'm surprised by the development.
I mean, I think most people would echo your sentiments. He was drafted by the Eagles to be the backup to Carson Wentz because they loved the fact that maybe they could have used him in a Lamar Jackson way as kind of an addition to Carson Wentz. He was viewed by most as around a fourth-round pick. That was a maybe when he got into the NFL. Now, this is a really well-schemed offense. The running element that he brings to the table is really difficult to defend. They've got a great offensive line, but you still have to make throws. And he is now making throws. And the thing that started to happen is just what I said with Burrow. They are starting to get into that situation where when he sees one-on-ones outside the numbers with Brown and Smith, they are taking shots, and he's making really accurate throws down the field. His deep ball, which was a concern, a major concern when he played as a rookie and a concern through much of last year, has become really good. So I guarantee much of it's him. I've heard great things about Jalen Hurts and his whole approach and work ethic, but he is playing at a really high level. But one final point before we get to the play. This is an offense. This is what you want with offense, Colin. You want to be in a situation where your run game and your pass game can operate independently of one another, dependent on any given week. You don't have to do one thing for the other thing to happen. You can do either one depending on your game plan, choice, and your opponent.
And let's go to our big play of the week with Jalen Hurts.
All right, let's jump right in. This was the touchdown that ended the first drive last week against Tennessee. And this play was very representative of coaching as well as execution, because they were playing a Tennessee Titan defense that on first and second down, and this was second down, plays a lot of quarters coverage. So you see Hurts in the gun right here. And what you're going to get is a 3-by-1 set. And you're going to get Sanders, the back, offset to the short side of the field. Now, as I said, the Titans were what we call quarters coverage, with each defender responsible for a deep quarter. That safety to the boundary side of the field is the key guy, because in quarters, he's responsible for the inside slot running vertically. So what does that essentially do? That leaves Devonta Smith one-on-one on the outside versus the corner. And that's what the Eagles knew in their game planning, because that's what quarters coverage is. Quarters demands that the boundary safety, the safety away from trips, that he has to match up to number three, to the inside slot. And you can see that he matches up to him. So what do you end up getting? The one-on-one, as I said, and Smith runs an unbelievable route, which we'll see in a moment. And so the throw is defined. It's a beautiful throw. And it's a touchdown. But one point I want to make here, not just about Jalen, but about route running. And this is Smith. Look how he gets the corner to turn to the outside. Yeah. And when you turn to the outside, you can't play an in-breaking route. So this was beautiful design, beautiful execution. This is an offense led by Hurts that's executing at a very high level.
Greg, happy holidays. We'll see you next Thursday. As always, thanks again.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, he was one of the great young linebackers in the NFL. Of course, it's the Steelers, and that's what they do. They get great defensive players, and he was 4 years with Pittsburgh, an emerging star linebacker, and then, of course, suffered a spinal injury in Week 13, 2017 against the Bengals, and it changed his life. He has a book called Walking Miracle, How Faith, Positive Thinking, and Passion for Football Brought Me Back from Paralysis and Helped Me Find Purpose. When the injury first happened, were you at all bitter or angry at what the sport created?
I wouldn't say I was bitter or angry, and the reason I say that is because I feel like every single day I put in maximum effort. I studied a lot of film. I didn't really cheat the game. So to me, I didn't feel there was a reason to be bitter. I was upset more at just the opportunity that I couldn't play anymore. But just at the game of football didn't do anything to make me get hurt. It was me. I tackled somebody the wrong way and ended up fracturing my back.
Fear. When I remember watching it, and I'm fearful for you. Mm. Were you ever in this process? Did you have panic and fear? Was it part of it?
You mean panic and fear of the process?
Let's go to the first 6 weeks, and you don't know the outcome in the recovery.
Yeah, so in the first 6 weeks, it was definitely, I would say I was a little bit unaccepting, and I was kind of unaware of how significant I was dealing with. And the reason I say that is because I was so positive thinking, so forward thinking. Yeah. I was thinking, hey, I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna play football again. I'm gonna get better. And then I started. It was probably like a week and a half, 2 weeks after I got injured. Then I had a really bad accident. I ended up if you lay on the bed, everybody's been in a hospital bed before. It's like the rail. I ended up throwing up on the rail and it hit me back in my face. And then I was like, oh snap, I'm hurt really bad. I couldn't even move myself out of the way. And then I wasn't really fearful. I was just like, okay, I understand. I can't walk right now. I don't care what I need to do. I'm about to figure out how I need to walk, yeah, and I'm about to go on that path.
And doctors have said that positive outlook is really, really important. When you watch a football game now and you see, I saw when Tua's hands fenced, all of us, it makes us sick to our stomach. We love this game. Players, you know, the regulated level of violence. When you see something like that, how does it feel for you? How does it land for you?
So with Tua's situation, yeah, I watch a lot of fighting, like UFC, MMA, yeah, yeah, Bellator. And to me, when I've seen somebody get knocked out before, that's kind of how they tense up. So when he got hit, I knew he just the way he got hit was more a reaction of where his brain got hit, where he got hit, which caused him to be unconscious. I wasn't really scared of him having like a spinal cord injury or anything like that. I was just more Tua just had an incident that was kind of similar to somebody getting knocked down in a UFC fight. So to me, I was very cautious. And when I look at anybody that gets hurt and they're been on the field for a long time, I normally look at their legs and just see if they're moving. And I seen that Tua was moving. So I knew that everything was going to be okay. The biggest thing for me was just focus that, you know, mentally he was in the same space.
If you could do it all over again with the knowledge you have, would you play again?
100%. Was able to stop what I was doing. I mean, not stop what I was doing. Wake up tomorrow and it was like, hey, Ryan, you're 100% healthy. I would call Coach Tomlin and be like, hey, I know I won't be able to play this week versus the Ravens, but hey, let me figure out if I can, you know, work my way back to being on the team. But the thing is, I'm very happy what I went through because it gave me a whole different perspective on life. And the people I'm around now, I feel I've learned so much more through this journey that I've been on than I would have if I never got hurt.
You sound grateful for your life.
Yeah.
The chances, the opportunities. Tomlin's a pretty special guy. He and Mike Vrabel look like they could still play.
Yeah.
This is an interesting season for Mike. And I had said before the season, and we'll pivot here to some football, I said, you know, maybe it'll be his first bad season, but we got to figure out if Kenny Pickett can play.
Yeah.
At some point. Let's just let him play. I'm kind of encouraged by what I see with Pickett.
Yeah.
What do you see?
I think Pickett is the guy for us. And the reason I say that is because at the beginning, I know everybody was like, oh, Kenny doesn't look that great. But and he got thrown in the middle of the season.
That's right.
When he played with receivers that he didn't have chemistry with.
Kid's rookie.
he's a rookie. And to me, after the bye week, he's able to get more time with his receivers. He's able to actually calm down, understand the playbook a little bit better. And now we're actually seeing the Kenny Pickett that deserves to get drafted first overall, meaning the first quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
He's slowly making good decisions. He's not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And I think Kenny was just figuring things out those first few games, and now he's getting in the groove, and I'm really excited about it.
One of the things Mike Tomlin's a little bit ahead of the curve on this is that the NFL's lightened up. You know, Mike's always been very pro player. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll's like this. They're going to let players make mistakes and show, you know, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So George Pickens, a terrific receiver out of Georgia, gets all fired up last week, and Tomlin's like, hey, I got no problems with that.
Yeah.
You know, Antonio Brown. Jason brought this up. He said, yeah, nobody had a problem with Antonio Brown. It went sideways. Mike does tend to kind of let players be players.
Yeah.
Do you think in retrospect they let AB get away with a little too much?
I'm not going to say that they let AB get away with too much because when he was at the Steelers, we were winning championships.
He was great.
We was winning games. We was winning divisional championships. And AB at that time was one of the greatest receivers or the greatest receiver in the game. So, to me, I feel like he was handling them the right way. And one thing that Coach always used to say is, I'd rather say woe than sick them. You don't want to tell somebody you don't want to tell somebody to be a dog when it's coming to play football.
Tell them to slow down a little bit.
You got to tell them to slow down a little bit. And I understand that Coach Tomlin said, hey, if you're your best self, you know, I can deal with the consequences of it. But once you're not playing at the same level, then it's time to move on. And I think that's the situation that kind of happened with AB and a lot of other people with them not being player coaches or player franchises. I think it was harder for them to transition of like the Steelers were able to transition.
So Ohio State's a physical football factory. The Steelers are physical. Your background in football is physical. Mm. I got to tell you, I watched Michigan the last 2 years push Ohio State around a little.
Yeah.
And I don't know Ryan Day, but as a Buckeye, it's a real thing, right? Like how do you, because you had Mike Tomlin. Mm. Okay, so you're an Urban Meyer. Those teams are physical.
Yeah.
It does feel like the Buckeyes have become a little too receiver-oriented and finesse. That's my interpretation. How do you change that?
I think, you know, especially with football, the time of day, everybody love offense, everybody love receivers, and I think that's kind of like the Chief effect. You know, like with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they make the game look so pretty, everybody wants to copy it.
That's funny.
And they won championships like that. And I think we can still win championships in that same capacity because we do have the running game. But I think, you know, Coach Day is going to have to just talk to the defensive coordinator and just figure out, hey, we need to figure out ways to bring more to the run game, bring more physicality to our O-line, because right now our O-line and our team is really pass happy, and you should be pass happy if you have a Heisman candidate quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the one wide receiver who's a star, Marvin Harrison's son's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the best part about football is Sunday, but what do you miss about, I mean, I've had players tell me before they miss the plane flight home after a win.
Yeah.
Do you miss that, the guys?
Yeah, I definitely miss the guys. When it comes to college and pro games, at Ohio State, we used to fly as well. So we didn't get to be wild on the plane like you are in the NFL.
Right.
You're in college. But, yeah, I definitely miss the guys. I definitely just miss the camaraderie, just being able to joke around with them after a win. And even after a loss, how we can all talk on the plane about, hey, this is how we lost. This is how we need to get better. And I feel like a lot of the great teams, they already talking on the plane, even after a loss, already trying to figure out ways to get better.
Right.
You know, so I think that's something that I definitely miss because, you know, not playing football, you don't have that same type of chemistry as you have with teammates. And I love everybody that I work with, everybody I do things with when it comes to on my podcast and everything I'm doing, but it's not the same dynamic as when you're playing football.
So you've had three coaches, all great, Tomlin, Urban Meyer, and Luke Fickell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you about each one, and you tell me the thing that makes each special, because they're all really good. Luke's going to crush it at Wisconsin. Yeah, you know he's going to win big at Wisconsin. Yeah. So Mike Tomlin, what makes him special?
So I try to compare Mike Tomlin to like a father figure, and the reason I say that is because he understands that every person is completely different. So when I say that is he understands, hey, I need to coach you a certain way, and then Ryan, I'm going to coach you a certain way, Ben, I'm going to coach you a certain way, but he understands how to pull out the best out of each person, and it's kind of like a father. I have two boys, and I know I can't father them the same way.
That's right.
You know, so I think he does a really good job of coaching in that way.
Urban Meyer, what makes him, what's his secret sauce, the specialty?
I think he does a good job of just understanding what guys want to get out of a situation and then pulling that out of them. So, for instance, in college, he understands that most of these guys want to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
And so Urban, he puts them through situations that's really tough for them in college and just understand if you can overcome that situation in college, you're going to be phenomenal in the league.
Yeah.
So I think he does a really good job of that. And then he also understands how to outcoach a lot of coaches, especially in the college schemes. And I think he did a really good job of that. And he does a good job of just bringing in great talent.
Young Luke Fickell, who crushed at Cincinnati. Mm. I think he's going to crush at Wisconsin. What made him special? Did you spot it early?
One thing that I think that makes Coach Fickell special is his true love for his guys. And I would say all my coaches love their guys. But the one thing I can notice with Coach Fickell, when he was my linebacker coach, if we were getting in a fight with one of the offensive guys, he's like right in the mix with everything. And I'm not saying he's fighting the players,
right,
but he's right in the mix. If you know, we're fighting or the defense and offense are fighting, he's right in the middle. Like, he's not pulling us back. He's getting in the middle, and he might get punched himself. Like, he loves guys that much. He's willing to put himself into the middle of it and to make sure that his guys are protected. And I think when you have a coach that you know that has your best interest and loves you and is going to go all out for you, I think that's why Cincinnati did so well, and I think that's why he's going to do so well at Wisconsin, because the guys are going to know he's going to do everything he possibly can to make sure that they win, but also that they're in the best situation.
So I saw Trent Dilfer just took a coaching job in college. Prime Time took a job at Colorado. So players now getting into coaching. Would you coach?
I think maybe a little bit later. You know, Prime, it took him a little while. Trent Dilfer, it took him a little while.
Sure.
And I think maybe a little bit later. I think a lot of other guys got to play as long as they wanted to. Not everybody gets to play as long as they want to. Tom Brady is the one guy that actually gets to play as long as he wants to.
Right.
You know, but most guys, they get to play 10, 15 years, 8 years, as long as they want to. The game got taken away from me a lot faster than I wanted it to, and I don't think I would be a great coach right now. And the reason I say that is because I would still be wanting to do things myself, and I don't think I would genuinely be happy for guys the way I need to be if I was
You're
a coach.
You're still a player in your heart.
In my heart right now. So I think I need a little bit more time to allow me to be more of a coach.
Well, that's great self-awareness. The book is Walking Miracle, How Faith, Positive Thinking, Passion for Football Brought Me Back from Paralysis and Helped Me Find Purpose. It is Ryan Shazier. I've never met you before. Absolute pleasure. I love your optimism and gratitude, and you're a good guy. And you had a tough thing in life, and you've overcome it, and you're just crushing right now, and that's a great story, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dekovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dekovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dekovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dekovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.